it's great to see you on this cold morning. Hey, Jesus. Happy New Year. And I hope God is guiding your goals and resolutions this year. You know, I didn't know that Friday was resolution quitter day, that people gave up that quick at the beginning of the year. I thought it lasted at least a couple months. So I hope God is guiding you and leading you in what he has for you this year in ordering your steps. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed morning. We thank you and ask you to fill this holy sanctuary with your spirit. May you guide us and lead us. May you humble us before you. May we share and live in the love that you've asked of us, O Lord. And Lord, I ask you to put this vessel to the side so that people can hear your message this morning and what you have for them. Lord, we just thank you for the grace and mercy you continue to provide in our life. And will you go before us during this service and help us to continue to praise you, pray to you, and give you all that you have asked. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go this morning to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 18. If you would stand as well as virtually, we welcome you and say Happy New Year to you. And will you stand, even if you're at home or in the sanctuary and you're able to, because I do know some, including myself sometimes, can't make that stand. So if you can, please do so. And let's read this together. May have power together with all the saints to grasp and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I have to say, this preparation for this sermon, I enjoyed spending the time with the Lord and where he was guiding me and leading me and answering questions. You ever given God so many prayers and you say, oh God, I didn't know you were flooding me with answers. We never know, but we know he's there and will answer us. So I just thank him this morning for showing up in our lives and continuing to bless us through our prayers. It's exciting to share God's word this morning. And I hope on this cold day, chilly cold day, because baby, we know it's cold outside, that we will feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit in our heart, minds, and soul.
Amen.
We're going to spend some time with Paul where he's praying from the jail this morning. And in chapter 3, he talks about getting a glimpse of the very purpose. He wants us to understand why he even exists as a minister of Christ. Paul existed to serve Christ no matter the cost. He says he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner in Rome when he was writing these words. He was there because he was sentenced. He was enslaved to Christ. He would bear any suffering to share the glorious vows of Christ, even if it meant imprisonment and death. Every minister of God is a steward of God's grace. He is responsible for ministering the grace of God. We know another minister who sought to unite us in this community and in this body. He sat in a Birmingham jail writing a letter, an open letter in April of 1963. That man is Martin Luther King, a man we celebrate and recognize hopefully this weekend and set some time aside to remember and recall the sacrifices that have been made for us in his name. And just as the Apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to practically every city of the Greco-Roman world, Martin says, I too am compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my particular hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid. His partner was not available to him at that time as he sat in the jail. And I'm not speaking of Reverend Abernathy. I'm speaking of his great partner in civil rights, in the civil rights movement, Sister Coretta Scott King. She was at home and had just delivered their baby girl. She was unable to participate in the march. Yet, let us not be remiss in understanding her significance and role. Unlike Paul, Dr. Martin Luther King had a family, a wife who suffered with him in the movement, rejoiced with him in the movement, but was always by his side and very supportive, yet also took the lead in helping and standing in his stead when he could not be there. But at this time, let's go to this prayer in Ephesians. It's a great prayer of Paul for the church. There's a few things about this prayer. It's specific. It has a specific purpose. It also has the utmost importance to complete the work of salvation. God has given birth to the church, the new body of believers which he is building. And Christ is asking and calling for our servanthood. This is a great cause for which Paul prays to bring salvation to believers and know the greatness of Jesus Christ. So important, it drove Paul to his knees. He begins by kneeling in this prayer, which demonstrates total submission to God and reverence before him. Amen. Jewish people oftentimes would outstretch their hands or stand in prayer or also just go prostrate before him. Yet, I'm going to ask you, have God ever driven you to your knees? Kneeling is a sign of desperate and dependent need of him. You know, you cry out for his goodness, his love, and his grace to be there when you most need him. This prayer also addresses God as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the world to reveal God, to show man just what God is like. His prayer also addresses God to the Father of the whole family of God. God is the Father of all believers who have ever believed and trusted his promise. Yes, there are several requests in this prayer. The first is for strength and power. Strengthen means to take strength, to be strong and endure, to resist. And it also talks about power, which means energy, to have the energy to be strong and to endure in his holy name. The believer needs to be strengthened with power in the inner spirit. Yeah. See, that's the deepest part of our being. In our soul, in our heart, and in the spirit, where God has renewed us. See, it's important we understand that without him and without him existing in this way, we would just be total, absolute sinners every day. Amen. Because it's the only way we can overcome the flesh with all its weakness, to conquer temptation and sin, to deal with the pain of grief and loss, to address the problems and circumstances in our life, and to overcome with the healing power through disease and suffering that's upon us. Yeah. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus. His second request is for Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith. Dwell. Permanent, not temporary. Dwelling takes up a permanent residence. You know, Luther says, a house is not a home if no one's there. Is Christ in you? When we settle into a house, we make it part of us. So it exemplifies and personalizes who we are. Can Christ be seen in us? So what Paul is saying is that Christ would be at home and live in a permanent identity within the believer. The believer to be aware and conscious of Christ within his heart. Aware that Christ has taken residence within us. When you get up in the morning, many times we go to the bathroom and get ready for the day, right? When you look in the mirror, do you see the reflection of Christ? Do you feel his loving power embracing you and lifting you for the day and showing and sharing the light that you are to illuminate onto others? Does Christ control and guide your life permanently and constantly? Does he live in your heart? We reflect this weekend on our leadership and our history, as well as our justice system and opportunities. Oh, but for grace. As we reflect on our history, leadership, there's a pain of change and suffering that's been and still is endured today. Yet let's not be mistaken. Our civil rights leaders, many stood in strong faith to be able to endure the experiences and to lead people in the way they did. Shuttlesworth, Reverend Abernathy, Reverend Young, Reverend Jackson, long list of ministers who carried the spirit of Christ in their hearts during the civil rights movement. They armored up to repel the darts for their heart, mind, and spirit. That meant that they had to put on the helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and oh yes, to put on those gospel shoes to be able to march and be steadfast in his holy name as they went against the enemy. His second request is for us to dwell. Means permanent, not temporary, dwelling. So let's think about this. Let's go to the third one, which of course, we need love. He asks us in verse 17, the very same love of God. His fourth, which is understanding. Grasp God's eternal plan and glorious salvation. See, this is critical. God has done so much for us. It's immeasurable. Can you quantify in your life what Christ has done for you? Can you really look over the past and quantify it and just say, this is, I give this 5, I give this 10. You know specifically and measurable? No, we cannot count the blessings we've experienced in Jesus Christ. When he's lifted us and when he was there, when we maybe forgot he was there, but he was still there protecting us and keeping us. So as we celebrate and honor Dr. King this weekend, as you think about his fellow icon, Coretta Scott King, a historical icon and a Christian leader. She was rooted and grounded in this movement before her and Martin ever met. This widow is one of the most influential leaders in the world. King said, it's for the love, sacrifices, and loyalty without which neither life nor work would bring fulfillment. Social justice and human rights throughout my life, it was not for my wife, Coretta Scott King. Understand, by age of 15, she was already using her gifts for service in the church. She was incredibly gifted to be able to direct the choir and play the piano in church. In the 40s and 50s, black sister, 15 years old, leading the choir. What a beautiful experience. I can still remember the day I walked in the tabernacle and saw Lexi directing the choir, giving the power and the ability and the gifts of our youth to be used. Youth in leadership, what a beautiful experience. But Sister King, she got a scholarship, partial scholarship to Antioch, where her sister had already integrated Antioch College here in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Ohio has some rich history. Amen. Yes, we do. Amen. But she followed in her sister's footsteps to go there. Audacity to believe in the Almighty. God had great plans for her life. We must always pray and seek God to increase and to bring our understanding. It will make you want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I know I will thank the Lord every day, all day long, for what he has done for me. We wouldn't be here if it was not for him. I told him this morning, I said, I could hear Paul Dunson in my head this morning. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. How beautiful. May we really examine the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. God loves you in ways you cannot imagine. You know, maybe this will help you date in fucking tears. You remember the song? How high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. God loves you in ways you will never understand. Do you remember when you look over your life, the times that you messed up, failed, but he got you back up, turned you around, and said, let's go for it again. See, nobody else has his power. We cannot live this life without him and his unwavering love for us. Coretta shared, the more we understand what God has done for us, the more we will reach out to take the love and salvation of God to a world reeling under the plight of poverty, evil, and death. She's talking about taking his word with the Great Commission to the least. Coretta King was rooted and grounded in Christ and made a home for him in her heart. While at Antioch, she served in the NAACP. She wrote articles on behalf of justice and race relations. Yes, Coretta Scott King was long involved in the civil rights movement before she met the love of her life. But she had the audacity to believe that she could make a difference and use her voice to address the inequities and racism and the gender discrimination that was being experienced and plagued across this country. She credited Antioch for her role in the civil rights movement, stating that the college emphasis on service to mankind reinforced the Christian spirit of giving and sharing, provided a new self-assurance that encouraged her continually in her work and her studies. She modeled the importance of education for women and children. In 1951, Coretta Scott King entered the Boston Music Conservatory. Mm-mm-mm. And this is where she met Dr. King, who was not a Dr. King yet, he was Reverend, but he was a doctoral candidate at Boston University School of Theology. She was initially a little wary of this Baptist minister, but she was impressed by his sophistication and intellect. Yet she recalled King saying to her, "You have everything I want in a wife. Character, intelligence, personality, and beauty." Oh, sisters, can you feel that, a man saying this to you? It's beautiful. The two were married in Alabama in 1953 and then returned to school in Boston to complete their degrees. The next request we have is that he asks us to that We love that we have the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. Verse 19. It is utterly impossible to grasp and experience the love of Christ anywhere close to its full measure. But we should pray for God to help us learn more and more of his love and make it often part of our day. God has love for us beyond any of our understanding or comprehension. Ask you, if he loves you that much, will you try to release the shame and the doubts and the fear that continue to plague your mind? Put it in the past and don't get stuck there, because he wants you to come forward in the future and know his goodness. His love will carry you forward. See, you know, he sent his son to die for us. Your sins are forgiven. Do you believe it? Do you stand in it? Release the shame and the issues that people want to place on you, and allow God to lift you up, direct your path, and order your steps. Have the audacity to believe in his word and the promises that he has. It does not matter your condition, your age. He's close to you. He's there to comfort you. He will bring you out of the stillness of loneliness and grief. Jesus knows, I know. Next request, fullness of God. He says in the scripture, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Can you imagine just getting up each day and knowing you're filled and flooded with the great Holy Spirit that's going to strengthen you, empower you, guide you, lead you, that you can take on anything that people will bring to you? Because you're standing in Christ and the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you. Do we stand in the power of Jesus Christ? In the King James Version, he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. The believer has already prayed to be strengthened by the Spirit and to have Christ dwell within and control their heart. Now the believer is to pray for the fullness of God himself, for God in his presence in all its fullness, to continue to fill him and flood him. We go to verses 20 and 21 as we conclude this prayer. And we are reminded there's encouragement to pray and to trust God for the answer. Paul concludes this prayer with a doxology, celebrating God who has loved us enough to send his son as a sacrifice for our sins, that we are forgiven, we are saved. It centers on God's power to accomplish miraculous things. Paul can't find words to describe all that God is doing for his people and can only add more than all we ask or imagine. Human thought cannot comprehend the extent of God's power. It says in Scripture, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his purpose, and is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. If God is able to do what we ask, just how strong and powerful God is and able to do. He reminds us we can do exceedingly, surpasses. It's way beyond any request that we can have to overcome and do anything, to overflow and know that he is more than enough, above, to go over and above and beyond any need. All that we ask, all that we can think, imagine, he goes beyond any need that we have. Yeah. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or imagine.
Amen.
He is able.
Amen.
Do we have the audacity to believe? Coretta Scott King, the woman, may only be known as the wife, but she endured the bombings and threats on her man, children, and families regularly. Yeah. Coretta Scott King was an activist. She was a crusader in Christ in the movement and a partner with her husband as she continued to strive for the issues relative to segregation and that we could have the rights that anybody could have in this country. She said, I'm not a symbol. I'm not just a wife. I am an activist in Christ and in this movement. She continued to play a critical role in many of the civil rights campaigns. Coretta Scott King lost the love of her life after only 15 years of marriage. Shot down, killed, and assassinated. These children lost their dad. A great icon for us, but this was their father. These were little children. They had to try to wrap their minds and their spirit around the idea that they have lost their father. Yet she took them with her. 4 days after this man was assassinated, she wasn't there with him in Memphis, but she quickly transported herself where she needed to be, and that was in Memphis, Tennessee, with her family. When Dr. King, the father, and others were trying to tell her, this is too dangerous. You can't do this. She said, as much as it hurts to lose the man of my life, I love this movement because it's bigger than a person. There were times during the movement people advised her to go home. And she says, I know where God is calling me to be. You don't understand. This was more than what we think is a civil rights movement. It was a call from Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
She had the audacity to believe. The courage in Christ as a grieving wife, she did not cancel any of his speaking engagements and activities. She marched with her children, the silent march. But then she went on to go to the anti-war rally in New York. She went on to do the funeral and to march in the streets with hundreds of thousands of people. She also did a Harvard commencement address a couple months later. See, Martin had a dream, but Coretta had a vision. She orchestrated the development of the Martin Luther King Jr. Center. Nonviolent and social change. She had the audacity to believe when others told her no many times. What she was called to do, to continue the mission Christ had called her to do. In 1983, as she was lobbying, speaking, traveling, and writing, yes, she prayed. The Martin Luther King March to become a holiday. Do we know it was Coretta Scott King that ensured this holiday happened? She spoke publicly and nationally, and she made the commitment to the vision for it to become reality. So in 1983, she led an effort that brought more than 500,000 demonstrators to Washington, D.C. to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, where King delivered his I Have a Dream speech. See, she was chairperson of the Martin Luther King Jr. Federal Holiday Commission. And this holiday was signed into the list of federal holidays commemorating King's contribution to the civil rights movement. Yeah, well, we know people, we didn't get to officially observe it till 1986, but she did continue on the vision. to fulfill promises even if they are humanly impossible, Romans 4:21 tells us. Standing in the word, what is your purpose? What's your vision? What's your plan? We have a God who supplies unlimited power in our lives. We have inexhaustible power to energize our lives and make us useful in the kingdom because we have the Holy Spirit within us.
Amen.
To make grace abound, Corinthians tells us, to do exceedingly abundantly, Ephesians shares with us, to subdue all things to guard the soul's treasure, Timothy shares, to save the utmost, Hebrew tells us, and Jude 24 says, to keep from falling. All that for which we are praying, what is the power within us? It is the combined power of all that God has put within us, all that for which we are praying. The power of the Spirit to strengthen us, the power of Christ to indwell in us, the power of love to work in us and around us, the power of understanding all that God does, the power of the fullness himself, this prayer shares with us. The purpose of God in preparing prayer and doing all this for us is so he may be glorified in the church through Jesus Christ. And how long is he to be glorified? He says throughout all the ages, world without end. Have the audacity to believe God is not through with you yet. And the blessings. Remember the last part of that prayer says, forever and ever, through generations. Amen. That year, he lost, even though he was not here, Yolanda King, his first daughter, passed in suddenly in 2007, just visiting a brother's friend. It was a month before the launch of one of the campaigns. But let's talk about, look what God did. A year later, Yolanda Renee King was born. A young advocate, speaker, and author. Despite her youth, Yolanda Renee has followed in the footsteps of her grandparents and become an activist in her own right. At 9 years old, she participated at the March for Our Lives. She didn't just participate, she spoke. And she spoke like her granddaddy spirit was with her. A rally to end gun violence. She wants to help inspire the next generation to fight for what they believe in and what her grandparents believed in. See, God is doing a mighty work through their legacy. Her book is called We Dream a World. She's picking up on the dream to carry it forward. To him be glory to the church and to Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Do we have the audacity to believe he is able to do more than we ask? So I remember minister said, we have matchbox requests and prayers. When God is trying to move mountains for us, have the audacity to believe and walk in what he has for you, your family, your future. Expect the miraculous. Your children and grandchildren, don't they deserve to know the greatness and miraculous power of Jesus Christ? The families that have continued, they will continue to grow. Do you not want the legacies behind you to continue to know to stand in Jesus Christ when it's tough? You're not going to always be here. But do they know who to call on? See, he's an awesome God. Do we have the audacity to believe and know he's a miraculous, omnipotent, sovereign God in our life? Do we expect the miracles? And do we have the audacity to believe? We ask you, if you do know the Lord, to continue to share his goodness and his light with others. If you don't know the Lord, we're asking you to bow and come and surrender yourself to the great love, light, and power that Jesus Christ has waiting for you on this day. Expect a miracle. Walk and have the audacity to believe. Come to Him in Jesus Christ.